Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Profitable Practice Podcast. Thank you so much for continuing to download, continuing to listen in, continuing to respond to me and let me know how you guys are loving the podcast and what you're learning from it and how it's impacting your lives. I just want to say thank you all so much. And I'm going to be recording another show after this one, all on everything that I learned from the event that I just got back from in California. It was Costa Mesa, so it was right near Laguna Beach, and this is with my next level mastermind people. So be watching out for that show coming up next time. But today what I wanted to do was take a piece of what I learned, and that was the power of video when it comes to marketing your business and how to use Facebook Live in your business, how to use Instagram and Insta stories in your business. So I thought no other person would be better to have this conversation with than Melissa Leithwood, who has been helping healthcare practitioners, naturopaths, and the like to really step out of their boundaries and start using social media platforms to start growing their business. Now she's getting into the essential oil platform, which we will have a link to her Facebook group and to a free download about that, how to use essential oils in your business, in the show notes. But I really wanted to ask her a few questions about how to leverage video, especially Facebook Live and Insta stories in your business, so you can start to grow your following and show people how authentic and how wonderful you are and get more people into your practice. So without further ado, let's talk to Melissa. Hi, Melissa. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
It's been a long time coming because I think you and I have been networking for at least a year or two now. So you're finally here on the show.
Yeah, exactly. We've been in this space for a while. I've been helping people in this space, in the wellness space, for almost 10 years. So wow. It's inevitable that we would run into each other.
So tell me a little bit about kind of how you got into what you're doing and what really kind of inspired you to start reaching out to other healthcare practitioners and help them grow their business.
Yeah. Well, it started back in 2008 when I was, I started my PhD at Queen's University in business, and I just kind of was feeling off, and at that point I had been introduced to Chris Carr.
Oh yeah.
Crazy sexy Chris Carr, and on a blog, and she was talking about naturopathic medicine, and it was something really new to me, and I hadn't heard of it before. And I've had massages before, given my background in I used to manage spas and hair salons. Okay. So I kind of, you know, kind of knew. And then I said, you know what, let me give it a shot. So I went to see naturopaths at the Integrative Health Institute down in Toronto, and I thought to myself, you know, let me see if I can start to feel better. Like, you know, one of those typical patients where you just don't know exactly yes. what is the matter with you, right? But you know something's off. So that's kind of what I did. And yeah, and they got me in like tip-top shape. Like I was feeling like the best in my, like, I mean, at that point I was still like 25 or so. I don't remember, but 26 maybe it was. And I was like, you know, when you're 26, you shouldn't feel that like crap.
Totally.
But I was. And so, I started to feel, you know, the best shape of my life. And so at that point, I kind of just thought, you know, let me apply everything that I'm learning to the field of wellness practitioners because of such like an amazing impact that it had made on my life personally. And I knew that a lot of wellness practitioners weren't getting the business education That piece, especially back then in 2008, 9, 10. And so I thought this will be a perfect opportunity to really help others kind of feel better too, right? So help practitioners really kind of reach more of the people that need them.
So, I mean, that's really what spurred on the podcast too, right? Is we just do not get knowledge on how to run our business, especially in the online space, which is why I'm so thrilled to have you here. And one of the things that really kind of caught my eye was a couple months back, you did a 7-day video challenge where I think people had to do a video every day or at least do a video by the end of the challenge. And one of the people that's in my course ended up having like 5,000 views, all these shares of her video, which she never would have done had it not been for you. So I think what you're doing is phenomenal, and that's why I had to bring you on to the podcast today to talk about video and using social media to help grow your business. So, what would you feel comfortable starting with? Should we start with video or Instagram, or what do you think would be a great topic to start?
I think let's start with video. Yeah,
Okay.
let's start with video.
So, when it comes to video, exactly how do we use video for business? How do we leverage it to grow our business?
Well, a few ways. I mean, when I did the video challenge, the goal of that was to get practitioners into storytelling mode because that is where marketing is headed. Actually, that's where good marketing has always been. Has always been in generating word of mouth marketing through storytelling, right? And how we we're wired basically for two things, really, when it comes to that. We're wired for stories because that's how we know from the beginning of time we were all telling stories before we got to write. And we're wired visually to see, right? And so you put the two together, and it's so much of a more of a like a winning formula than text. I mean, people are so inundated now with posts and text, and what was working back then is not working so much now because of the attention saturation that people are experiencing. So people now are turning to, to video, and so because that is what we're wired to pay attention to at least more so, right? Even though now we're getting hit with more and more video, but at least if you want to stay in the game, you got to start doing more of the video. So, there's a lot of research studies in communication studies and in marketing studies that look at video, and it looks at word of mouth marketing, and it confirms this exactly, right? And when you look at how people are doing it on what platforms, right? So the platforms for practitioners, especially, like, no, I mean, not many are at least at this point able to afford television spots, which is old school anyway. It's like no one's really, or billboards, like on major highways. And so where they get to sort of shine is in a few areas. One is, Facebook, Instagram, and even depending on, what kind of if they're targeting a global audience, YouTube. And so doing Google AdWords, YouTube ads, essentially, that's how you would do it. You would do a YouTube ad through using Google AdWords targeting. And so video is so much more practical for practitioners to engage in. But what was great about the video challenge that I did, which I saw as the major hurdle for most people, is that fear. It's more of like a, yeah, okay, I get it. Like, I get I should be doing it, but I don't know. I feel like I don't know where I start. What do I say? I'm putting myself out there. But you know what? If you want to make the most impact and you want to reach the most people, you got to put yourself out there.
So how do you start using Facebook Live videos in your business to really like get the momentum going.
Because
typically as soon as people have done one or two, they're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. That was actually pretty fun. And it takes a lot of the jitters away, but it's creating that initial video. It's putting yourself out there live when everybody is watching you. There's no script. There's no redo button. There's no edit button. How did you get those practitioners to overcome that fear?
1 minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So how did I get those practitioners to kind of overcome that initial fear? Well, I think it's through having permission to not be perfect and to mess up. I remember when I did the sort of sales video for my very cheap course, it was just me in my living room, my super messy living room after my kids have just trashed it, just to kind of show the point that you should just get started, right? Like you should really, like I know that you have to have a sense of professionalism, sure, but don't let perfectionism overshadow it, right? Like there, you can still be professional while being in a semi-decent environment, right? You don't, okay, not everybody will have that beautiful Architectural Digest background. I mean, hey, I'm just using the background in my bedroom right now, but if what you're saying is succinct, tells a story, hits with people on an emotional note or even on a problematic note in terms of like, oh, I recognize the problem that you may be experiencing, you know, that's kind of where you need to be focusing the attention more so than the perfect background. I think it was just giving people permission to say, you know what, do your first video. It's not going to be perfect. Like everything, like the Marie Forleo's in the world who started, you know, you watch their first videos, I was actually in her very first B school course.
Be careful. One not second. To break it.
Okay.
Because there's a light bulb in it.
I know. Sweetie, can you watch the TV? Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's so fine. So fine.
Yes. Okay. So if you look at the Marie Forleo's of the world and you know, I remember way back when, like when I first followed her, she was just like new, had a blog out. Like it was pretty new, a few months. And she was just starting Marie TV and it was like all really, it was like what I'm doing now. Like, I mean, it was really,
totally.
It was really just, you know, just
nuts and bolts,
just getting the content out, right? Get the content out, get, develop the fan base.
So like when you watch anybody for the first time, everything is really nuts and bolts and like, you just got to get up there and do it, right? Like there's no, I think people also get turned off when things look too polished and perfect and scripted because they can sense it. They really want to see someone being totally authentic.
Yeah. And they want to see someone that's relatable. Exactly. And so that was the key. That was the first key to helping people overcome it, right? Like there were a few people who were older practitioners in the group, more mature, who've been in the game for a while. Like, you know, they are the elders, right? The elders who had been in practice for over 20 years and who felt like, who would want to listen to me?
Right.
Like, oh, you know, I'm not like these polished, perky women, but and they're, you know, just coming out of medical school, and they just, you know, that is just so. And then there's the self-talk that the younger folks had too, which is like, oh my gosh, I'm so new, who would want to listen to me, right? Like, and you know what, somebody is going to want to listen to you, and somebody is going to feel like you are their jam.
Totally.
And that is what you need to tap into.
And I was like, even thinking like, I use all my videos not with the intention of getting new people or new followers. I just say, I just want my patients to be like, there's my naturopath. Like, I love her. She's always giving us free content and always great content and words of advice. So I try to flip it not so everything is about dollars and the return on investment and how many clicks and shares and views. Like, if that happens, that's amazing. But I always exactly. put myself into the perspective of, I'm just going to keep giving my tribe as much of me as I possibly can. But the other question that I'm sure came up is, what do I even talk about? Because we have all this knowledge, we have all these things that we could talk about live. And then when you put the camera and you're about to hit that record button, you're like, shit, like, what am I going to say? What am I going to talk about? So how do you overcome that idea when you're talking about, like, how to make Facebook Live videos and come up with content?
Totally. Well, there was a really great storytelling formula that I had given, which, you know, it's basically that you want to you want to hone in on the issue or the problem that someone has. And that may be, you know, what I suggested to do for those who didn't really have an idea or a pattern yet of, like, who their typical client is that comes in, was to go to Google Keyword Planner or that other one, which is, what is it called? Ask the something. Oh, geez. I wish I remembered at this point, but it's one of these other ones that you can basically look at what people are searching for online. Sure. So basically that's what I had suggested. Like, start there with the challenge. You know, when you introduce yourself on the video, start off by saying, it could be something like, you know, are you feeling bloated? You don't know why. Mm-hmm. You're eating healthy. You're eating all the right things that you should be eating, but you still don't know why it is that you're having gas and bloating, and you just, like, your stomach is not feeling right. Mm-hmm. And okay, so, you know, so I say, okay, start off there. You want that hook, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And then once you have that hook to get people to listen in, because it's that first 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so short.
That's all you have.
But it is. Mm-hmm. So it's first 3 seconds. Yes, that count. That is what is going to hook people. And it doesn't matter what you're going to say after that if you don't have a hook, right. If no one's watching, right? And so you get that hook in there. And once you have piqued people's interest, right? It's not going to be for everybody. Not everybody's going to have, like, the gas and the bloating, right? But at least those people that have it, you want to hook them in. So, okay, you hook them in, and then you say, the next thing is, you try and be a little bit relatable. Like, you know what? Like, he understands me. And that is by using a relatable story. Like, you know what? I used to, you know, back in the high school days or whatever it may be, like, this past holiday season, even I, like, a holistic nutrition, whatever, experienced bloating, but I knew what to do.
Right.
I knew what I did wrong. I knew what to do. And then you get into it, right? You get into, like, I know my food sensitivities, but I ate anyways over the holidays because I knew what to do to calm it down, you know? So, and then you can dip into things like recommending to people, hey, if you don't even know what your food sensitivities are, right? Then come, like, you know, we can work it out. There are a variety of, like, tests that we could do. And then you kind of list off, you know, what that could look like. So it's not so scary for people, because I think, especially for complementary medicine, we forget the dominant medical model in society is sort of the conventional model. And for the average folk, herbal medicine, or even just non-conventional tests that they would get through their regular doctor, can be kind of scary.
Sure, it is.
Like, you know, it can, like, they think it's, like, heavy stuff, right? But it's not. once you're into it, but that first initial leap, like, it's so in the video, it's all about making the unknown more familiar to people, right? So describe the test. Describe, you know, what the heck is a food sensitivity test? Am I gonna have to be poked with needles or not? Like, does it take a few seconds or a few hours? Like,
right.
So this is, like, more of the meat of the video, right? And this is all under 4 or 5 minutes,
right,
which is not the time, but that's what it is. You got to get people, you got to do a video 2 minutes or less. It's the best, no more than 4 or 5 minutes.
Yep.
Is what the research shows. So yeah, making that unfamiliar familiar. And then once you've kind of related to people, you beat the unfamiliar familiar, then you can go in, you can put in your call to action, which may be something like if this is you, so let's have a chat. And you could even, if it was in Facebook, you could have that messenger button, click below, message me now, and we'll set something up to have a chat to see if we're the right fit. You can come in for a 15-minute meet and greet. We could chat over Skype to see if this is the right fit before we go forward.
Perfect.
Like really low risk, right? Mm-hmm.
And what I love about Facebook ads is this is a really great gateway for you to start experimenting with Facebook ads too, because you can boost that post and still target it to a local area. You could turn that into a Facebook ad if you wanted to, because the video is already on Facebook. I mean, it opens up the doors to a lot of things. You can create audiences for people that are just watching that video, and how long did they watch it for? I mean, there's so many things that you can do. But one thing that I wanted to really highlight here is the delivery of the Facebook Live video. And the reason why is because I've seen a number of healthcare practitioners that are doing Facebook Lives or live videos on Facebook, and they look so boring. And they look, and I'm sorry, guys, they look bored giving the information. Yeah. They look really low energy. So how are you ever going to engage somebody to watch your video? As Melissa said, you have literally like 3 seconds or less to get them to even continue to watch your video, let alone watch it to the very end.
Yes.
So I would personally recommend setting your phone up so it's on a stand, so you are standing, making sure you're in natural light. So I always set my phone up in front of my window in my house or in my clinic room, and even if I'm holding it, like, I'm still in the natural lighting, and I try to be as overexcited about what I'm talking about than ever. So I just wanted to hear kind of your thoughts on that too.
Oh my gosh, totally. That reminds me of a quote by Chris Rock, which I'm going to misquote it, but do you know what I'm going to say? No.
No, so not at all.
So he was saying, like, in an interview, maybe it was even Oprah, but he was saying nobody wants Chris Rock. Like somebody was saying, Chris, in person, you seem so, like,
normal.
So, like, yeah, you seem kind of, like, even keeled, like, and he's like, this is me. Nobody wants Chris. No one wants Chris Rock. They want 10 times Chris Rock.
Right.
Right. And so that's the way it is in show business.
Yeah.
And so, if you take that cue and you bring it over into your live videos, right? Like, that's what you got to, do. You got to have that intonation. Oh my gosh. Like, right. You got to bring that enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Even though it may feel strange, you're still being you, but you're just being 10 times you. That's all.
Yeah. Which everyone wants to be 10 times us anyway. However, don't bridge it on inauthentic. Like, it's more just you being so excited about delivering the information, and what you feel on the other end of the camera being 10 times you delivers as like 5 times you or normal you. So it feels like you're going way overboard, but what the delivery is on the other end is actually like normal.
Exactly. And especially if you're coming into it with a lot of fears and it's your first video.
Sell it.
then yeah, exactly. Because your emotions are already so low, right? Mm-hmm. So if you really try to pick up the enthusiasm, then you are going to be just you.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
And that's, yes. And I want to say also, like, even if you are a bit boring in that first video, I'm giving you permission to be boring in that first video, because I want you to do that first video, right? You're going to get good over time. That's how you're going to learn. You're going to get feedback from your audience, which is so important. Like, people are always asking me, well, how do I do this? Or how do I do that? I don't know the answer. I don't know your audience, but I can give you some structure, right? And then you build from there. You figure it out. Everybody's going to have a different audience. People who are targeting folks with infertility, they're going to have a different vibe with their audience than folks who are targeting, people who want to, like, who are already into yoga and all this stuff, and they just want to up their game and detox. Like, it's just completely different how you're going to, address that sort of and work with that audience. And so I think that's also super important, is that you just want to keep it's just iterative testing. That's all it is, right? You're going to get really good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just have to get those jitters out, like just start doing it, right? Now, what would you recommend a good frequency of doing a Facebook Live video would be?
So this is really interesting. So if you asked me that maybe like 6 months ago, I would have said, you know, you could do one, you know, four times a week if you wanted to, or even just some folks were even just doing once a week. But a lot of people have said in the live streaming space is, okay, so we know that Facebook, if we're live streaming on Facebook, that Facebook's algorithm rewards live videos more, right? So, okay, so we know that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I've heard within the live streaming community that live streaming has sort of been going down in views the past couple months, which is interesting. So few people have been experimenting with their scheduling of their live streams and creating events. So I haven't tested this myself, but this is apparently what people have said that they've been testing, and it seems like it's starting to work better for them.
Okay.
So I'll put it out there, and we'll see, you know, if people want to try it out. Okay.
Sure.
Because this is kind of what I've been hearing on the cutting edge, is that they have been creating a Facebook event, right? Like through their Facebook pages, and using that to go live within. So you get people who are already committed to attending this event, which is really an online video event. It's a live stream event,
yeah.
Right? Then what they're able to do is they're able to advertise that event to more people to get them to join that event. They also, post-event, get to advertise to the people who attended that event mm-hmm. and who attended and watched live. So what is it that they're doing is they're going live within the event. So rather than posting, like I've seen this too, people will post like a webinar link or a Zoom link.
Sure.
So rather than doing that, they're actually just doing a Facebook Live within that event page, like mm-hmm. as a comment or whatever it is. So when that, so they schedule it out, and then people get that notification, like your event is happening like now.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah. So
that's smart.
Apparently that's been working out much better than going live in terms of attendance, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of attendance.
Yes.
Now, I still wouldn't recommend to do solely that, but that seems to be good for like if you're scheduling something once or twice a month that is kind of like almost webinar style live streaming, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than some folks who will do like a daily or a weekly live,
right?
For based on like a challenge or some kind of like a talk show that they're doing
right.
on their live page. So there's three kind of things, right, that I mentioned that people could be trying out and experimenting with to see what works for them in terms of frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that daily going live. There's the weekly going live
mm-hmm.
on their Facebook page or personal account if people are doing that. Because
sure.
I've noticed since that only thing with the personal account is that you can't advertise your
video.
Live video, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. And then the other, which is creating that event and then going live with that event to the people who have said that, yes, I want to attend that event, right?
Yeah.
So try it out and see what works for your audience and for you and what works in terms of advertising if you want to see as well, right? What matters more so instead of the frequency is to be consistent at it.
Sure.
If you want to guarantee more people show up live, then you have to let people know that on Tuesdays at 10 a.m., this is when I go live.
Yes.
Right? And so then people kind of know, okay, well, that's the expectation. Otherwise, if you're going live all over the place, like your attendance will be low because people are off doing other things. They right. don't expect you to go live and watch, right?
Right.
But regardless, you'll get – that's if you want to get the engagement. Regardless, as you know, based on that student who is in your program, you will get so many more views in the replay.
Yes.
That's where the kind of the meat is, right? So if you are gearing your live streams towards understanding that more people will show up in the replay, then that's, you know, that's okay. Like mm-hmm. you can go there, right? You don't have to worry so much around engaging with the people who are or not showing up live, right?
Totally. Like, yeah. So the next thing that's pivoting in my mind is, okay, so we've just learned how to use Facebook Live for our business and for business marketing, but the next thing that people are going live on now is Instagram.
Yeah.
And so how can we start using Instagram stories or start using Instagram Live to also leverage our business?
Okay, so Instagram Live, right now there's not too much that that can be done in terms of like you can't schedule live Instagrams, like in terms of getting people to, like, you know, pre-attend or things like that.
Gotcha.
It's kind of one of those new things where you just go live and then
yes.
there you are.
Yes.
You can of course create a post in your Instagram profile which notifies people, like, hey, I'm going to be, like, going live, but they don't get a notification so much like that they can, you know, like on Facebook, you could say, notify me when this person goes live.
Right.
On Instagram, you'll get a notification when someone goes live, but it's not as pushy. Like, it's not
gotcha.
Like...
Yep.
Yeah. So what most people have been doing is they'll go live on their Facebook, and then they'll just stream it live on their Instagram, too, to just hit off the two audiences. And some people will even do YouTube live as well, because YouTube... it lives longer on YouTube, mm-hmm. And the views will accrue more there if that's, you know, if YouTube, which is the second largest search engine, if that's someplace that you have deemed that that's where you want to be, then go live there too.
Yeah.
Instagram stories. Now that's really cool. I've been experimenting with that recently. And what I've found is it's really super important to tag your location.
Okay.
It doesn't even have to be your location. It could be the location in which you want to grow your following, your audience, right? If you are a global practitioner, that could mean tagging, you know, some of the major cities around the world in order to get more audience views to your Instagram stories, right?
Gotcha.
But if you're a practitioner that's location based, like many naturopathic doctors are, then especially here in Ontario, then you can tag your location, right? You can tag Toronto, you could tag Rosedale if you're in this area, like, you know, be really super specific. So what I've noticed even with my own post is when I tag a location, I'll get like 400% more views than not tagging my location,
okay.
right? So it's really significant and I think, you know, you want to do two things. It's tagging location, and it's also using a hashtag. A location, you can do two things. So in your story, you can only use one hashtag. So either you make that a location-based hashtag, mm-hmm. or you make that your, avatar-based hashtag,
right.
meaning, like, whoever your ideal client is, right? Like, customer, patient.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you want to kind of straddle the two to see which you get the most views, because in your insights, in your Instagram insights, you'll notice, you know, which is producing more volume,
right.
more views for you, right? So the next thing is we have the number of posts, the attention span. Story be around eight stories, like eight, nine stories, before the views tend to really kind of drop off. And that makes sense. I mean, people are not going to, like, stick on to, like, they want to get a variety, right?
Yes.
So they'll be with you for a bit and then they'll just kind of drop. Then they'll just kind of swipe to the next story.
Yeah.
You'll get a few people hanging around to the end, and they're your devoted fans, and love up on them.
Yes.
You know, if you notice that, if you see it in the insights,
mm-hmm.
You know, send a message to those people, because they've stuck with you for a long time. Then, congratulations for
right,
watching.
Oh, right. Right. High five.
Right. No, but maybe they have questions. If they're really that engaged with your Instagram stories, hit them up and send a message like, hey, I noticed that you watched all my Instagram stories. Mm-hmm. If you had any questions, like, that could be kind of like a really cool thing, because if they stuck with you, then most likely they are really interested in what you had to say. Maybe they want more information, and they could be a prospective new patient if they're not one already. So Instagram stories, the gifts are one way people are using now to get more attention, and they do work. And the stickers, using the appropriate stickers. They're like hashtags in themselves, except they're just stickers. So if you mm-hmm. click on a sticker like kind comments, that is that will take you to all the stories that feature kind comments.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Is there anything in particular that you found successful with practitioners using Instagram for their business? Again, like, what images do people like? What is it that they should be using to attract more followers, especially for local audiences?
Okay, so everybody go follow Dr. Ben Connolly out on the East Coast. He's like, he's got a drone now. He's doing really funky things.
So but he's cool. Doing really well.
Yeah, like, him and Ashley, no, anyways, the associate that he works with, Ashley, I think that's her name. They're really doing some interesting things in the office. Like, they're showing like the they're providing education, right? And the tutorials around making that unfamiliar more familiar. So what is PRP? Like, here in Ontario, you can't do it, but mm-hmm. over on the East and the West, you can. And so the platelet-rich plasma treatments that they're doing, They're showing like the injections. Like, they're obviously they're getting permission from the patient, but they're not showing any
right anything that would be exactly anything identifying
privacy right. But they're just showing the arm, and they're showing like the PRP that's going in and injecting, and they're showing like what's happening on the monitor as well. And then they're getting the follow up as well. Like, they're showing the post, and Dr. Kat, who is a plastic surgeon that has like over 1 million people following her on Instagram out in Beverly Hills, does this super well as well. You know, follow her too, because you'll see that she does so many tutorials to make that unfamiliar familiar, and to show the befores and the afters without any, you know, invasion of privacy per se. That's what people want to see. I mean, the infomercials from the 80s latched onto that before and after. Everybody loves the before and after, right?
Yeah.
And so you know, there's a way to kind of do it within regulation too. And that's kind of the thing that you'll find with those two accounts, is that they're doing it really well. So Instagram stories that are tutorials that do the before and afters, that walk a patient through or prospective patient through the environment, that I think – I forget who did it, but one ND did it, where they had it as if it was a prospective patient that was holding the Instagram story, and then walk through like what that whole experience would be like. So they had them like call in, and had like they did a story of like the reception answering, and then like
well,
it was
cool.
Like journey, right? Yeah. And what's great about it is you want to save those stories, right? You want to save them, add them to your story highlights, so that they don't just disappear, that it's something that a prospective patient,
if
they
were.
How do you
do that?
Yeah. So in your story, you would just hit save to highlights. I think that's what it is.
Oh.
It's on the right, I think. And then it goes to your, so on your main profile, you have, you have your link, right? And then below your link, you have your round circles.
Yes.
Your stories, right? So that's where you can specify where you want your story to be saved.
Oh, even I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. So you could say, you know, one could be like, about our clinic, and then it could, you know, that's where that story could be saved, right? Or, you know, if it's a specific service, then saving the story there. And if people want to get to know the team, if it's a larger clinic environment, then introducing them to the clinic team there, right? Like having, like making everything so much more personable. So there's a lot that can be done.
Yes.
Whether you're an individual practitioner on your own, or you're working, you know, or you own a clinic with many associates, many practitioners, right? There's so much that you can do to make, to humanize the business, right? The practice.
I love that. So we could absolutely go down the Instagram rabbit hole and talk about posting and everything else. I would like just us to stay focused and keep today's show just on the video side of things. So ultimately, you just need to just get it done. You just need to do it. You just need to get comfortable with it. The best part about Instagram is it's on a time limit. So you really only have like, I think 15 seconds or so to show something that's going on. The Facebook Live, as Melissa said, no more than 2 minutes, ideally at most 4 to 5 minutes. Anything else that we've missed that you think practitioners could really value from?
Yeah, I think, you know, don't underestimate recipes in terms of content. If it's someone I'm thinking of who was in your program, they did a recipe. And if not, there was somebody else in my program in the video challenge who did a recipe, and they had like,
So and they had five, they were doing like a brownie or cookie recipe.
Exactly.
Like totally so, the, like all the other ones do, where they show cracking the eggs and whipping the bowl. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, totally. So do it. So recipes, right? Like I used to well, I still have a client who used to be the editor for the, she was the food editor for the Toronto Star for 18 years. And she gave me one piece of advice, because I asked her, I said, you know, what's like, in all your years of experience, what is it that people want? She said, yeah, they want to hear a story. Like, okay, they want to learn about, you know, farmer, they want to learn about this or learn about that. What they always come back and write to her about time and time again is the recipes. People want to know the recipes, right? We're obsessed. We have the food television, you know, the food networks. We've got the food bloggers. We've got the now, you know, everything around those recipes.
And we all have to eat.
You say?
Yeah.
Exactly. So don't underestimate a good recipe. Try to include that in your content offering, because if that's how you need to hook people into your vibe, into your brand, then do it, right? Because there's a lot of value in that. If I mean, it is the essence, right? If we're trying to change people's lives, we know how important it is that, you know, what they eat, right? And so weave that into your content offering. Do an Instagram story that is a recipe. Do a Facebook Live that is a recipe, or a video that is a recipe. You know, whatever that may be, you know, you can try and do it. And you can create that, as, you know, some people have done. It may be one recipe, and then that's in an ebook to try and capture, you know, the prospect's email, right? So if you want to be like kind of more strategic about it, then you can go about it like that. You know, make sure that that recipe is tied into something that that leads people into your email marketing you know, stream, if you want to.
Perfect. Be fancy. Yeah. And I mean, we all have recipes, even cooking at home. Like Jennifer Hessler, she's an ND. She's always showing pictures of her and her kids cooking. And I love them, because it makes you feel like, oh, I could do that, and I get my kids involved. So all those things are really helpful. And Melissa, if people want to learn more about you or join your Facebook group or anything like that, what's the best way to get in contact?
Yeah. Okay. If they want to learn more about me, they can go to my website. So Melissa Leithwood, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, Leithwood, L-E-I-T-H-W-O-O-D, Wood, .com. Or on Facebook, you can, it's, I'm not even going to like say it, it's so long, but the group that I have, which is the marketing group for practitioners, where I'm actually going to be running another video challenge.
Oh, great.
With the new, with the new updated information. I'm hoping to do that next month, which is tomorrow. they can go to that Facebook group. It is It's marketing for clinicians, and there's like a colon, and then it says like NDs, PTs, RMTs. Like I can just try and include everybody, right? So that's where they can find it. And of course, you can find me on Instagram at mleithwood, wherever you want to connect.
Cool. Thank you again so much for coming on the show. And as things evolve and change, I'd love to have you back.
Thank you. It was lovely.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye for now.
So there you have it, folks. Another amazing interview in the works for the Profitable Practice Podcast. And again, all we said there was just do it. Stop being afraid. Just start taking action. You know, be inspired by what you learn throughout the day, and maybe your live story or Instagram story can be about a patient case study, an amazing result that you had with a patient or a client. You know, any of those things are absolutely possible. All people want to just see is you and how you are crushing it in your business. And of course, and how I always like to finish this is I don't want you to just be inspired by this show. I want you to start taking action, and I want to be the person to help you do that. So if you are struggling seeing the light, figuring out the pathway, figuring out the tech, just reach out to me, info@themaxmmovement.com. We can set up a time to chat and figure out all those things that are getting in your way so that you can just start killing it in your practice and get rid of all those excuses and start doing amazing things in your business. So again, reach out to me personally, info@themaxmmovement.com. Continue to subscribe, continue to download, continue to share this podcast with everybody that you can. And my favorite thing that I would love you to do is leave a review in iTunes, because the more we can get this ranked, the more people I can help just like you maximize on your business. I'm Andrea Maxim, the host of the Profitable Practice Podcast, and I'm out. You guys are killer. Thank you as always for listening to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Leave me a comment, and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.